This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Today is the day where people who like to hear matters leadership are waiting for. So kindly watch out for that because our guest for the day is already in studio. Kindly, if you can write us on 20933, do you have a question? Would you like to interact with us? That's the number 20933. Better yet, you can just do a WhatsApp text on 0717-400-555. We will be live shortly at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV underscore KE. But right this moment, allow me to welcome Bishop David Oginde. Karibu sana.
Asante sana.
Yes.
Yes.
It's good to see you, sir.
Thank you. Good to see you also after a while.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yes, we have been with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And the grace has been sufficient.
Yes, the grace of God has been sufficient and she's also doing a good job.
Yeah.
So today, before we get to the topic, I know a lot of people are looking forward to hear seven little things that make leaders great. Yes, my take home was, you talked about something the last time. I'm really trying to remember. Anyway, you talked about truth and, you know, speaking the truth and courtesy. And you also talked about humility. And I think in that humility, you talked about delegating. For me, that was a big one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But before we get to the topic of today, last week I asked people to give recommendations, you know, if given a chance. What would they recommend to the government? Because the president had already told us that, I'm not going forward with the finance bill. And so I asked, what would you give as recommendations? And a lot of people are talking about end corruption. And so the guy who holds that office is with us here. Kindly, your thoughts on that?
They were telling the president, not me.
Just give us, of course they are telling the president, but give us your thoughts on that.
That is a legitimate concern,
mm-hmm.
Really from the members of the public, citizens of this country.
Yes.
Is a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm.
I have said in several fora, I've said even behind this microphone,
mm-hmm.
both before I went into ESCC,
mm-hmm.
and even after,
mm-hmm.
That corruption is the one of the things that as a nation we really have to deal with, mm-hmm. decisively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one would say, why would you say that and you're the one who's supposed to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I say that because now being inside,
yes,
in the ESCC,
mm-hmm.
That thought has even been more strengthened,
mm-hmm.
because of what I have seen and experienced while in that office.
Yes.
What is very disheartening,
mm-hmm.
is that there are people in this country,
mm-hmm.
who are totally committed, and I say totally.
Yes.
Because of what I see, totally committed,
mm-hmm.
to convert public resources into their own resources.
Oh, okay.
They are committed.
I wasn't expecting that. Okay.
What were you expecting?
I was thinking, you're saying they're totally committed to end corruption. Yeah.
They are those people also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about those who are committed to ending,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about the problem.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, the mm-hmm. problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
People who are totally committed to convert public resources,
mm-hmm.
into their resources. And this includes, it ranges from small people,
yes.
Which we normally call small fish,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who are stealing 5,000 shillings, mm-hmm. 500 shillings even,
mm-hmm.
to people who are in big time,
mm-hmm.
Corruption. We are talking about billions of shillings,
yes.
of government resources.
Mm-hmm.
And they are deliberate about it. You know, some of us find ourselves sometimes in a space where you're in a financial crisis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody comes and offers you a bribe,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
In the course of your duty.
Mm-hmm.
So you get tempted. And I've met people like that.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment of vulnerability,
yes,
they got tempted
mm-hmm.
and they either took or they were tempted to take.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them get sober before they take.
Yes, yes.
You know, and therefore they don't. But mm-hmm. some, of course, go ahead and take.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a temptation mm-hmm. that came to them at a vulnerable moment.
Yes.
Your children are out of school. Your car is broken down. You've not paid your house rent. You know, those kinds of things that happens to any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody comes and offers you, please sort me out on this. Mm-hmm. This is what I will give you. And you feel, wow, could this be the Lord? You know, answering my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those people who get tempted mm-hmm. and sometimes they do fall into that temptation and end up doing that which they know is not right to do.
Yes.
There's a sense in which I would empathize with a person
mm-hmm.
who finds themselves in that situation. Not that it is right,
mm-hmm.
but you can see that temptations and failure can come to any of us at any given time.
Yes, yes.
The people who worry me
mm-hmm.
are the people who are not tempted. They actually organize, they plan, and sometimes, in many cases, very carefully.
We.
And they are not bothered
mm-hmm.
about what you could do to them or what could happen to them. They are. That's why I say they are totally determined
mm-hmm.
to do what they are doing. So as I've sat in the office, ESCC office, and dealt with some of these cases and seen some of the things that are happening,
mm-hmm.
And as I've said, some of them now I have since learned that they even hire consultants, you know?
Okay.
So that they can design this whole thing to be foolproof, as it were,
mm-hmm.
so that you never get them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see big corruption
mm-hmm.
are very difficult to
prosecute,
mm-hmm. Convict people.
Mm-hmm.
They are very, very carefully designed.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is also big money, they use that big money to also again corrupt other people who mm-hmm. are in that chain of the law enforcement.
Yes.
So it becomes very difficult, and it is very frustrating to Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why the people who are talking to you
mm-hmm.
say corruption, corruption, corruption.
Yes.
Now, the other challenge, before I get to solutions,
mm-hmm.
the other challenge that I have found is that there are also people who, some of these people
mm-hmm.
Are also determined not to end corruption, because that's where they benefit from.
Ooh.
So obviously they would not want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make sure that anything that can stop that process
mm-hmm.
is put in place to frustrate any efforts to mm-hmm. end corruption. Because mm-hmm. it is like you are their place where they get their livelihood, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example.
Yes.
Since I got into the office
mm-hmm.
As chair of ESCC,
mm-hmm.
it's 1 year now.
Yes.
Just over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Four pieces of legislation
mm-hmm.
have been brought to Parliament.
Yes.
That is the National Assembly and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Four pieces of that are directly related to mm-hmm. ESCC and the fight against corruption.
Mm-hmm.
The four pieces of legislation, every one of them
mm-hmm.
was to weaken the powers of ESCC.
Oh.
All the four of them. There is no piece of legislation mm-hmm. that has been brought to Parliament to strengthen the fight against corruption. All the four pieces of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
The first was, it's called the Ruku Bill,
mm-hmm.
which came just after I got into office,
mm-hmm.
Which was simply saying any issues that have to do with procurement should be dealt with at the local level. Mm-hmm. They should not go to ESCC. The entities that were involved, they should see how to handle it administratively.
Mm-hmm.
The second was called Kaluma Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The Kaluma Bill was simply saying that people who have been convicted of corruption,
mm-hmm.
once they serve their term, they should be allowed to go back into public service.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
The third bill was to do with the chairmanship of ESCC,
mm-hmm.
where they were saying the chairmanship of ESCC should go to a lawyer or a former judge.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth, which is the worst of them all,
mm-hmm.
is the what is called conflict of interest bill. You may have heard about it.
Yes.
Now, that is the worst of them. Mm-hmm. The conflict of interest bill was crafted
mm-hmm.
With the realization that many, many people in government,
mm-hmm.
once they get into positions of power,
mm-hmm.
then they want to do business with government. The same government that they are serving with.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the cases that we are dealing with mm-hmm. have to do with a person is a governor,
mm-hmm.
but together with his family or proxies, they form companies.
Oh.
Yes.
So they give themselves the...
So they give themselves the tenders mm-hmm. at inflated prices.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a road to be done,
mm-hmm.
it is given to your wife, your child, your uncle, your auntie, your friend
mm-hmm.
with whom you have formed a company, a construction company. Mm-hmm. And now a road that could have cost, may say, 500 million ends mm-hmm. up costing 1.5. And of course, I'm the one in power. I will approve it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we go and share the loot. So the conflict of interest bill was to stop that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was saying that if you are a leader in government,
mm-hmm.
you cannot do business with government, particularly where you are a leader.
Yes.
So that it stops this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that bill, very well done, went to Parliament. It faced some amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It went to the Senate, and the Senate completely diluted that bill.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part of it is that ESCC was the one to enforce
mm-hmm.
That bill.
Ooh.
When it becomes law.
Mm-hmm.
They deleted ESCC from every page completely. Mm-hmm. Worse still, they went ahead and said any other law
mm-hmm.
that deals with conflict of interest,
mm-hmm.
ESCC should be removed from there.
Hey, who did we elect?
So what it tells you is, mm-hmm. I was talking with the Senate just the other week.
Mm-hmm.
They had a meeting and I was talking to them. What drives this kind of legislation? Of mm-hmm. course, the argument is that, does it mean if you are in government, your whole clan cannot do business with government?
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what we are saying.
No.
We are saying that where you are directly involved,
mm-hmm.
you should not do business with government,
yes.
particularly in a government which you are part of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has went in a different direction, where now what they were doing
mm-hmm.
is that if I am an officer, in say like in ESCC,
mm-hmm.
and there's another person who is in a friend of mine who is in another government entity.
Yes.
So we agree
mm-hmm.
he gives my people
mm-hmm.
business and I give his people business.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
So we are now exchanging. So it amounts to the same thing. That's why the bill actually was crafted such that you don't do business with government
mm-hmm.
when you are in government, to remove that conflict of interest
mm-hmm.
because it undermines. So that bill went to Senate. It was completely diluted. They removed ESCC cannot enforce that law.
Mm-hmm.
it's supposed to, if there's a conflict of interest issue, it is dealt with by that particular entity. So in other words, I was telling the senator, what you are telling us is that if a governor has engaged themselves in conflict of interest process,
yes,
project, and it is found out,
mm-hmm,
it is that same governor who is to sit down and sort it out.
How?
Doesn't
make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Mm. And I told them of a case that was on my desk,
mm-hmm,
just a week earlier. That is now 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
3 weeks ago, I signed a letter going to the office of the DPP for prosecution.
Mm.
Here is a young lady who is appointed as an internal auditor and sent to a county.
Mm.
When she gets into that county as an internal auditor, she realizes there's a lot of business projects are going on here.
Yes.
So she forms four companies,
mm-hmm,
all in her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's the sole signatory.
Mm-hmm.
She's the sole proprietor of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes ahead now tenders for projects in the county government.
Yes.
Where she's supposed to be the watchman,
mm-hmm,
as an internal auditor. She's the one who is supposed to be pointing out, oh, there's an illegality going on here.
Yes,
there's a problem going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's the one who is doing that.
We.
Now you are telling me that that person should be dealt with,
mm-hmm,
by the county government.
They will not deal with her.
How?
Mm.
If she is the auditor,
mm-hmm,
and she's involved in this, it means then she cannot raise any finger against any other person who is doing similar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you then say that ESCC cannot get into this? And yet we are the ones who are charged with this.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the problem,
mm-hmm,
just a part of the problem that we are facing as, mm-hmm, a country.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I come to solutions and get to the place where you thought I was going earlier,
mm-hmm,
I can now come there.
Yes.
That there are people also in this country,
mm-hmm,
that are totally determined to fight corruption.
Yes.
And thank God for them.
Mm.
Because these are the people who give us information.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who feed us what you call whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like now the one I've given you of this young lady is somebody who's telling us,
mm-hmm,
there's an auditor who is sent here,
mm-hmm,
but this is the same person who is doing business with government, county government.
Mm-hmm.
So we then go and do investigations and find that indeed it is true.
Yeah.
So those patriotic Kenyans,
mm-hmm,
are also there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank God for them. Because these are the people through whom,
mm-hmm,
we will be able to deal with this thing called corruption.
Yes.
And I thank God again, they are from zero,
mm-hmm,
you know, down there in the village,
mm-hmm,
and they are all the way to the top.
Yes.
People who, when they see something, they raise an alarm, they send us information, and we are then able to do our investigations, and where we find people culpable, we are able to take them forward for prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
We have many of such people,
yeah,
who have helped us in this task.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as a commission, we are looking at the changing environment,
mm-hmm,
within which we are operating. And one of the things that we actually, when the budget was read,
yes,
and we just saw the amount of money,
mm-hmm,
that was budgeted for,
mm-hmm,
4 trillion Kenya shillings,
mm-hmm,
that is a lot
of money.
Yes. Now, if we go by the estimates that have been made,
mm-hmm,
there is nobody with actual figures because corruption is very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But the estimates, it is estimated that up to 1/3 sometimes goes into corruption.
Wow.
So that means about 1 million, mm-hmm, or 1 trillion could be headed towards corruption if nothing is done.
Is done, yeah.
So we were looking at this and saying, how can we preserve this money,
mm-hmm,
for government and for the public, so that it goes to the rightful use, because that money can transform this country.
Mm.
And therefore, we are looking at ways of leveraging technology,
mm-hmm.
so that we are not just pursuing people who have already stolen, but we are stopping theft
before it actually happens. Wow.
And so we are looking at strategies, ways and means of leveraging technology, mm-hmm. how we can get this whole budget into our systems,
mm-hmm.
so that we can monitor movements of mm-hmm. funds,
mm-hmm.
Where it is going,
yes.
who are being paid, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So that's something, a conversation that we are having, and it's very interesting because we invited some of our ICT experts, and they were just exploring what are the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you it is an exciting thing. So we are very hopeful
mm-hmm.
that even as these people are determined to steal from us,
mm-hmm.
they will meet with us at the gate.
Yes. Watawapata tayari.
Tuko tayari. We are waiting for them. So we are mm-hmm. not just sitting there helpless,
mm-hmm.
but we are really looking at ways and means through which we can preserve the resources that Kenyans have given through pain, like we have had, you
yes.
know, the people paying taxes through pain.
Mm.
The president has said, and I can witness the same, there are countries that are more taxed than we are.
Yes.
We are not the... We are taxed
mm-hmm.
very highly,
mm.
but there are countries that are more taxed than mm-hmm. us.
Yes.
Now, the only good thing is that their taxes go into serving the people.
Mm.
And therefore, you find that the little you are left with
mm-hmm.
is still enough to take you through because
yes.
most of the services are available and so on.
Mm.
If we can get to that place where mm. our taxes are fully utilized for what it was intended,
mm-hmm.
people will not even notice the pain of paying taxes.
No.
So that is something that we want to work on, and that is something we are committed to as mm-hmm. a commission to see that this thing happens. The second thing that we want to really appeal
mm-hmm.
to our leaders is the legal framework.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have told you, the four pieces of legislation that were brought in my lifetime in the mm-hmm. commission,
yes,
none of them
mm-hmm.
was to strengthen the work of the commission.
Yes,
we have made suggestions and proposals
mm-hmm.
as to what kind of legislation can be made
mm-hmm.
so that our work is made easier, prosecution of cases are made easier, the punishment and bringing to justice people who have stolen government resources
mm-hmm.
is also made easier and faster.
Mm-hmm.
Those pieces of legislation, we are working on them and we want to make proposals that they be done.
Mm-hmm.
The past ones that we have made, none of them has ever seen the light of day.
Mm.
There's no goodwill. So if we can work on our legal framework
mm-hmm.
so that it is enabling for people who steal public resources to be brought to justice, it will greatly, greatly help us in this fight against corruption. And
mm.
for me, I believe we have great hope. Finally, I would say that what has happened
mm-hmm.
in the nation today,
mm-hmm.
And now I will wear my bishop cap.
Yes, yes, please do.
I was reading in the last 2-3 days in my journey through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I read once again Isaiah chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
just almost the same time that the demonstrations were starting,
mm-hmm.
Just by coincidence. And
yes.
Isaiah chapter 6, if you may remember, is where Isaiah says, in mm-hmm. the year King Uzziah died,
yes,
I saw the Lord.
Mm.
And he talks about the majesty of God and the greatness of God and how these seraphs, the angels that came down
mm-hmm.
as they were singing, holy, holy, holy,
mm.
the doorposts of the temple just shook, you
yes.
know?
Mm.
And Isaiah was so shaken that he says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And he hears this voice, whom shall I send? And he offers himself to be sent. And the thought that came to me, and I've read that text many times, I've preached sermons from it, but for this time it had a very significant impact because of the things that were happening in the nation, in the sense that different scholars have looked at that in the year King Uzziah died in different ways. One is simply is a date, you know, like you say, this happened when this happened, you know, as a marker. So the marker for that date was the death of King Uzziah. It coincided with the time that Isaiah saw the Lord, had this revelation. So it is simply a marker, a date, you know. But others have also seen the death of Uzziah as a significant event that was very transformational in the that time in history. And therefore, Isaiah seems to have got this revelation at that point when this significant event was also happening. And that is the perspective I wanted to use, or rather came to me as I was reading through this text of scripture. That the year that King Uzziah died, being a very significant year in the history, I compare that with what just happened to us as a nation. What has happened to us is unprecedented. The rise of very young people and standing up against ills in society and so on is something that is unprecedented. And the everything that has happened around it has really come up to be almost like our national shame. A very significant event for our nation that we should not forget. You know?
Very true.
But in the midst of that, I hear many voices. I hear many voices. I hear people who are celebrating. I hear people who are angry. I hear people who are confused. I hear people who are mourning. Crying out for their loved ones. I hear people who are crying for their destroyed properties. And there are all kinds of voices that are in this mix of this happening of the last 2 weeks. To the extent that you actually don't know what to tell who. Because I could be talking to you as a person who is rejoicing how wonderful what has happened and these young people have come up to rescue our nation, while I don't know that you, you are mourning your child that actually died in the process. So you are not as excited as I am. Do you see? You are talking to different kinds of people. So what should we then do as a nation? And this is where I saw what happened to Isaiah being so significant. That it is not rejoicing, it is not the mourning, it is not the whatever anybody, any of us would be thinking about. It is a time for us to lift up our eyes and see the glory and the majesty of God in the midst of this confusion. Because it is only then that reality can dawn on each and every one of us, like it happened for Isaiah. When this glorious majesty of God was revealed to him in the midst of the doom and gloom, you know, as I was discussing with in our office this morning, our devotion, flags are flying at half mast because the king has died. In the midst of that death, there's a revelation of a great God. Who is able to do things beyond what we can imagine. Who is seeing things from a totally different perspective. Because when he begins to talk to Isaiah, Isaiah is even confounded by what God is asking him to do. Because God is telling him, when Isaiah offers to be sent, he says, go and tell these people, let them be hearing and not, let them hear but not be hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see but not understand. You know, things like that. It's like there's going to be more confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm personally calling upon us as Kenyans,
mm-hmm.
irrespective of how this thing has impacted you, irrespective of what your perspective is, whether you are happy with what happened or you are very angry at what happened or you are bereaved and mourning and or whatever it is that has happened, I would want to urge us to lift up our eyes to God.
Yes.
Because the God that we are talking about is the God of nations.
Yes.
And Kenya is one of the nations. So he was not taken unawares.
No.
You know, he doesn't need NIS to tell him now there's something that is going to be happening in Kenya.
No.
He knew about it. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, in his own good wisdom, mm-hmm. he allowed what has happened to happen. Ours is to lift up our eyes and to ask, what could God be telling us
mm-hmm.
as a nation? What could God be saying to us as a nation? This nation is loved of God. There's no doubt about it.
Very
that
true.
I can say very confidently.
Yes.
With no fear of anything, contradiction.
Mm. Mm.
That God loves this nation. If you see the things that have happened to us many times and we keep bouncing back.
Yes.
There's a sobriety that I believe God wanted to bring to us
yes.
as a nation.
Mm.
Sobriety at the leadership level, mm. all the way from the top.
Mm.
I want to trust that as I listen to the president speak, I believe that, in fact, he said,
mm-hmm.
I am reflecting.
Mm.
That is a good thing.
Yes.
If that reflection especially is inspired by the Holy Spirit,
yes.
like in the case of Isaiah,
mm.
so that he can hear what is God saying,
mm-hmm.
so that we don't act on what we feel
mm-hmm.
or what we think or what we imagine. Let that person who has lost a loved one
mm-hmm.
also be in a moment of reflection to know that your son or daughter died in the course of something.
Mm.
What could God be saying?
Yes.
It is not in vain.
Mm.
It is painful. But let the comfort of heaven.
Yes.
You could be waiting for somebody to say sorry.
Mm.
And somebody may never say sorry.
Yeah.
How will you carry that going forward?
Mm-hmm.
It's only if you lift up your eyes to the Lord.
Yes.
And allow him to be the one to bring you that peace and comfort
mm-hmm.
That can take you through the next journey, you know, without your child,
mm-hmm.
without your brother, without your sister,
mm-hmm.
without your father, without your mother, you know, whoever they were.
Mm.
It's only God who can sort you out. It is not government.
Mm-hmm.
It is not any person, because the pain you feel, I may not feel.
No.
The experience you're going through, I may not be going through. So no matter how great words I may tell you,
mm.
only God can speak to you at your point of need. There are people who are mourning their businesses.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah, let God come through for you.
Yes.
And this is not to absolve anybody
no.
of blame,
mm.
but that for us to be able to be healed out of this situation and to benefit from whatever it is that God is doing, we will have to move from blame game, from castigations, from what, and lift our eyes up to heaven and just see what is God saying. For me, I believe it is a turning point for our nation.
Amen.
That we must not lose.
Mm.
It's a turning point for every one of us. For me, I see this as opportunity. Sitting where I sit mm. in the Anti-Corruption Commission,
yes,
it is our turning point to change our fight against corruption.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose this opportunity, it may never come to us again.
Yes.
And so those things that I've talked about, our legal reforms, our commitment to the fight, our restructuring of how we do business, this is the opportunity for us to do that.
Mm.
And that goes across the board. So to me, it's a turning point, a very painful one. Blood has been shed.
Yeah.
Let that blood not go down
in vain. Thank you so much, Bishop. I know you have encouraged a lot of people. And I like what you've said, because sometimes when we have all these pent-up emotions, we can do things that we regret later.
It is true.
So I thank God that you've told us to reflect and to look to God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Bishop.
That's what came to me as I read that scripture. Mm-hmm. Because for Isaiah, he says, when he got into that personal reflection,
mm-hmm.
do you know his response?
Mm-hmm.
I am a man of unclean lips.
Yes.
He just saw his sinfulness.
Mm.
And then he saw the sinfulness of the people around him.
Yes.
And that's what turned him. And he just said, God, if you want somebody to go, I'm ready.
Yes.
I am ready. Mm. And I pray that all of us will be ready. And those of us who are committed to evil
mm-hmm.
in this land,
mm.
let me just call upon them. Please, just change. I don't know how to put it.
Mm.
You don't need ESCC.
No.
You don't need police.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this is evil. This is wrong. You are taking public resources. Just change. Just stop.
Bishop, I know time is gone, but I let me ask you a question as a bishop.
Yes.
I know that there are consequences for taking what is not yours.
Yes.
And I believe with what you've told us, is that it's like there are people who do not understand that stealing public resources, people have, they have cried a lot giving those taxes.
Yes.
Yes. So can you help someone understand some of the consequences? Because sometimes people behave like...
Utadu. No, I have actually, this I have said here, I've even preached in the pulpit when I was a pastor.
Yes.
As I've looked just practically
mm-hmm.
at people who are suspected, I can only say suspected, and some of them have been even taken to court
mm-hmm.
for stealing public resources.
Yes.
And getting rich
mm-hmm.
on the backs of others.
Mm.
I can tell you for a fact.
Yes.
None of them mm-hmm. ends well.
Oh.
With all their riches,
mm-hmm.
none of them ends well.
Yes.
Just look at the landscape of Kenya
mm-hmm.
and look at some of the people you admired because they had riches and wealth and so on, but they didn't get it legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Check their families. Check where that money goes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end well.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible says, ill-gotten wealth will not end you well.
Very true.
It is true. They are children. Sometimes they fight over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that money just disappears. Those riches just disappear. I mean, you can go across from history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking about the country, but it's across the world.
Yes.
So it does not ultimately pay.
Mm.
You may be thinking, I'm accumulating for my children, I'm accumulating for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Those same children, I can tell you some that I know personally.
Yes.
I know personally. They are crazy.
Mm.
But the people who have worked with their own hands
yes.
and gotten the little or much that they have got,
mm-hmm.
you see them. You also see them.
Mm-hmm.
They go from generation to generation.
From glory to glory.
Yes. It is true.
Mm.
So it is good that you have asked that.
Mm.
But ill-gotten wealth will not get you there.
Mm-hmm.
You find a person has so much money, has so much wealth, properties, and mm-hmm. all kinds of things. And in their old age, and sometimes not even old age,
mm-hmm.
they are paralyzed. They can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They are sometimes I know of a case where these resources could not be accessed even by the children
mm-hmm.
because the person had gone paralyzed and gone in or senile
mm-hmm.
Before giving where things are and yeah. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they are just guessing
mm-hmm.
that maybe there's something there, that maybe there's something there. They have no idea. The Unclaimed Assets Authority has billions of unclaimed assets because the owners are not known.
Hey. Somebody just died like that.
They just died like that, and that thing just went like that. It didn't benefit their families as they thought it would.
Yes.
So I that's why I'm saying just stop it. Just enjoy the little that God has given you peacefully, you know, and you go to sleep, you don't worry about the noises around.
Yes. Better a little that is of God.
That is of God, and that is you have worked with your hands.
Yes.
And God has blessed. You know, the blessings of God, the Lord
make
rich and add no sorrow.
That is so timely. God help us.
So I would just urge. I know even some people who have been called believers got themselves into this, and now they are entangled in all kinds of things. And I see their files in my office, and I just feel sad.
Ooh.
You feel sad because these are people who you thought would be really be transformers of society.
Yes.
But now they also have got caught up in the same kind of thing. And it is just so sad. So my plea, because law will not, as much as law is there to help, is not what's going to help us. It is a personal change of heart.
Personal, I like that.
Yes,
because you like pointing at other people.
It is personal. I where I sit. I mean, I have access. If I really wanted to collect money, the cases that we are dealing with, I could just say, my friend, your file is here. I'm forwarding it. If you bring so much, I can sort it out, and I will get it. But I've made a personal choice.
Yes.
That is not the, I'm not there to get money.
No.
My money was made before I went to ESCC. Yes. I didn't go to ESCC to make money.
No.
No. So why should I sell my soul and my name for a morsel of bread?
Wow. That is powerful. Why should I sell my soul and
my name
for a morsel of bread?
Yeah.
Powerful.
Why? Just make a choice. If you want to go into public service, serve the public.
Serve the people.
Yes. And then go home and rest and be celebrated as a great leader.
And ultimately, they're serving God.
God, the Bible calls them my servants. Yes.
Wow.
They're serving God. Yes, it is true.
Wow, asante sana, Bishop. Asante sana.
That was a long one.
Yeah, but it was necessary. It was very necessary because I know a lot of people are pained. Pained.
Yeah.
When you go and talk to people, sometimes I was talking to somebody and I didn't realize. Maybe I was some of those people who didn't realize how much people are pained. And when that someone walked out, I was like, wow, people are very angry.
Very.
So I'm very grateful that you have told us, let's self-reflect, let's look to God. Because who can stand and say, you know, you could be pointing at someone else and saying they've stolen billions, but there's something else that God is seeing in your life. Yes.
Isaiah was self-reflected. And the first thing he was like, hey, my friend, I am in a bad shape, a man of unclean lips.
And he was already a prophet.
He was a prophet.
Yes.
You know? Because the Bible says he was chosen very, very early. So, but he just looked at his sinfulness and he said, I can't stand.
I can't stand.
And my people are even worse. Yeah, that's where each one of us should be at. And as I said, whatever the how this thing has impacted you, particularly those of us who have lost loved ones.
Yes.
It is not easy.
No.
It is not easy. And we just pray for God's grace and comfort to be upon you, even as you face the days ahead.
Amen. Amen. In case you're just joining us, that is the voice of Bishop David Oginde encouraging us and telling us, of course, he started by telling us some of the plans that they are trusting to put in place and some of the things that he has seen in his line of work. But thank you so much, sir, for the encouragement for us to look to God. I think that's my take home.
Yes.
Self-reflect. Lord, where do you see me? Nisione to other people like they're the ones who are sinners. And then let me look to God, because ultimately he's my helper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's mm-hmm. my helper.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go for a short break as Melissa Odor tells us some of the stories making headlines. When we come back, Bishop will now tell us matters leadership. And I know it's going to be awesome.
Even this was leadership.
Yes. Yes, yes. Very true. Oh, thank you so much. I don't know if a lot of people are feeling, I feel this was very timely. You may not know it, but maybe you have just answered a lot of questions in other people's minds. Thank you, sir.
So. May it be so.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
And of course, you're listening to the station where you listen and leave. My name is Shiko. I'm sitting in for Grace Asante. Sana, for joining us. With me in studio is Bishop David Oginde. And of course, you've had a wonderful conversation. I can already see a few comments here. I'm not going to go deep into it because he needs to tell us a few things before he can answer your questions. But there's somebody here who is already asking a very important question. He says, "Hello, Shiko. I'm following from Molo and I'm grateful to Bishop's insight. May God continue gracing him in all ways, because corruption is one of the biggest hindrances of progress in our nation." And then he says, "Please share the EACC reporting number." This is one Steve.
Oh, okay. let me get it. I'll get it.
Yes, before
and share in the course of time.
Yes, as he does that, you can also, just interact with us on our Facebook page. I've seen several of your comments. The text line is 20933. The WhatsApp line is 0717400555. And of course, we are live at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV _KE. Karibu sana, Bishop. We're talking about the seven little things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The seven little things that
make leaders
great leaders.
Yes.
Or make leaders great, whichever mm-hmm. way you look at it.
Yes.
I'll just... We started this a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we already dealt three.
Yes.
We talked about truth.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about courtesy.
Yes.
And last time we were talking about
humility. Yes, yes.
And we spent a bit of time on humility mm-hmm. because we looked at different, how does humility manifest itself
mm-hmm.
In the life of an individual, and particularly mm-hmm. of a leader.
Yes.
Sometimes some of us say, "I'm very humble." The moment you say that, it means you are not humble.
Yes.
Humble people don't say that they are humble. Mm-hmm. They allow people to see mm-hmm. and judge for themselves.
Yes.
So we talked a bit on that, and we did not quite complete what we were talking about in mm-hmm. that particular area of humility.
Yes.
So we'll try and finish that and then go to the others. So... Mm-hmm. We are at number three
mm-hmm.
of the seven little things.
Yes.
Which is humility.
Mm-hmm.
So we said humility, it is a selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
It is a selflessness. You don't do things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You offer yourself to others. You sacrifice yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You let go of things that you could have benefited from.
Mm-hmm.
That is humility. We also talked about openness to feedback. That if you are a leader, you are open to your team members giving you feedback
mm-hmm.
on what could be on the ground. And some of it can be negative feedback, in the sense that they don't necessarily agree with what you are saying.
Yes.
But because of humility, you take it in. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
It takes a lot of humility for a leader to receive negative feedback.
Yes.
Positive, of course, any of us is happy when you have been told you are doing very well.
Yes.
I like the way you said this. I like the way you did that. Mm-hmm. That we are all very happy.
Yes.
Is when people come and say, I... Mm-hmm. You know, like when I was a preacher, you are happy when people come and tell you that was a powerful sermon.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
But when they tell you, hey, pastor, what was that? That's when your humility is tested.
Mm-hmm.
One time I just preached what I thought was a powerful sermon.
Mm-hmm.
I was pastor here at Valley Road.
Yes.
Senior pastor. So when I finished and came now, I was getting to my car. I find these two young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, young girls, I think they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them was even 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. They were still young teenagers. So I come to the car and I meet them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what I was speaking on.
Mm.
And there they are with their Bibles open.
Hey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting at my car.
Yes.
Then they say, Pastor, you said this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, I did. But the Bible says, and they give me a contrary position to what I had said.
Mm-hmm.
So for a moment, I was caught, you know, I was really caught unawares.
Yes.
Because first of all, these girls, I didn't imagine that they would be commenting on the sermon and so on. The way, you know, you dismiss young people.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when they said this profound statement, I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, you said this, this is not, that's what you said was not what the Bible says. The Bible says this, this, this. So I looked at them and I picked the Bible. And of course, what they had said was true.
Mm-hmm.
But now they had seen or heard what I said from a different angle.
Angle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I tried to explain to them now. And they really engaged me. They were not going easy.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But this, what? And we talked there for about 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I trying to show them that what I said was actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are saying is also true.
Mm.
It's just that you are looking at things from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost feel tempted to say, who do you think you are? You are just little girls.
Yes.
I'm a pastor. I don't know whether I was already a bishop by that time. It is even possible I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to Bible school. I've read the Bible before you were born. You know, you can be tempted to think in that way and dismiss these young girls as they don't know what they are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But humility requires, as a leader, that you stop and listen.
Mm.
The person talking to you may be way junior to you.
Yes.
Perhaps less educated than you are, less exposed than you are, and so on and so forth. And your mind tells you useless, bure kabisa, you know? But the spirit of humility tells you, Just listen. There could be something here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's something very profound that could come out of the mouth of that person.
Yes.
And that's what humility in leadership does for us when we are in leadership. So the willingness to learn is a very, very critical thing. The one I want us to discuss today, some of the others, still under humility, is the whole issue of empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy and compassion is an act of humility. In the sense that great leaders, humble leaders, are people who are able to empathize with the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be at a very lofty place, let me say. You know, for example, I there are things I don't think about anymore.
Yes.
Because I passed there.
Mm.
You know? And when you talk about bread mm-hmm. and milk mm-hmm. and what, you mm. know, 50 shillings,
mm-hmm.
I don't think about 50 shillings
mm.
as a need.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
And you can get to that place where you have lost touch
with reality.
With the reality of others, not your own.
Mm-hmm.
You have lost touch with the reality of others.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody can, for somebody, 50 shillings
mm-hmm.
is a lot of money. It's something they go for a prayer meeting for,
mm-hmm.
to be able to get. For you, even sometimes 50,000 is not an issue.
Mm.
You know, it is when you have 50,000 in your account, you don't know how life is going to be.
Yeah, you know? Very true.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, how am I going to make it?
Mm.
For somebody, 50 shillings is big time money.
Yes.
That they need to go and buy all the groceries for the day.
Mm.
And so when you hear somebody talking about they don't even have 50 shillings,
mm-hmm.
you can be so out of touch and say something that can be very hurtful
to
that person.
Mm-hmm.
So empathy brings you down from the lofty place where you are
mm-hmm.
to come down to the level where this person is.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can appreciate who they are, what they are going through, what their needs are, and how, therefore, you can help them.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest example of humility in that regard is Jesus. Because the Bible says, though he was equal with God, he was God himself,
mm-hmm.
he did not consider that as something to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
But he humbled himself. Even to death on the cross.
Mm.
So Jesus leaving the throne in heaven, coming to be born as a baby,
mm-hmm.
is the ultimate of humility.
Yes.
So that he walks where we walk, he eats what we eat, he gets hungry the way we do, he gets tired the way we do, all those things. That is what empathy is all about.
Mm.
Identifying with the needs and the failings of others.
Mm-hmm.
It is not very easy when you are a leader at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Because those positions remove you from this, what everybody is going through. And I'm talking from experience.
Ground mambo ni different.
And you are not in the ground.
Yes, yes.
You moved from there.
Mm.
You are in a place where you are not thinking about what to eat.
No.
When you think of what to eat, it is the choice of what to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that it is not there.
Mm.
So what, will we eat rice today and chicken, or will we eat ugali and fish, or will we do this and that? Because mm-hmm. they are all available.
Yes.
For somebody else, it is what to eat in the sense that I don't have what to eat. How do you handle that kind of a team member
mm-hmm.
in your team who is at a much lower position? There are simple things they don't understand and don't appreciate. And some of us as leaders can be very callous.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
How can you not know?
Hey.
How can you not have?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you passed there a long time ago.
Mm.
Empathy is an aspect of humility that takes you that from that lofty place
mm-hmm.
and brings you back to where ordinary folks are
yeah.
so that you can understand them. It is an incarnational experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Jesus. Jesus came through incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
He transitioned from being God
mm-hmm.
to being man.
Yes.
So that he could understand what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
He could feel what we go through. Identify with what we go through.
Mm.
A leader needs to be incarnational.
Wow.
Come down to where your people are so that you experience what they experience, understand what they understand. Not an easy thing,
mm-hmm.
I can say.
Mm-hmm.
The higher you go, the more difficult
it becomes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the famous saying that the queen said when there was a riot for for
the
food.
The one when she said, if they don't have bread, yeah. give them cake.
Give them cake. You know, what is the problem?
Wow.
It just shows how removed
from reality.
From reality,
was,
the person
yeah.
is. I mean, if there's no bread, give them cake. What is the problem? You know? Humility requires that you come down.
Yes.
Feel what people are feeling. Hear what people are saying. And identify with them. Their needs, their challenges, their realities. Still on the same of compassion. Mm-hmm. It's not just feeling what people are feeling, but helping them, supporting them, walking with them, standing with them in that particular situation,
mm-hmm.
so that people can feel you, that you are together with them. It's part of that humility.
Yes.
Yeah, that you are able to identify with the people.
Wow.
Yeah. The this was number five. Number six of that humility is working for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Many times as leaders, we can be very self-focused. And we make decisions that will benefit us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Sometimes also we make decisions that will benefit the organization. And very important. But those very decisions are going to affect somebody else down the road.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So humility requires that you take a broader perspective of things so that you look at how is this going to affect the weakest of our team members, the lowest of our team members, the most disadvantaged of our team members, so that even though it could have benefited me, but because of that greater good, we are willing to make certain sacrifices.
Yes.
We are willing to lay aside certain things that we could have done so that all of us go together. And all of us benefit out of the process. It's again a little thing that many of us leaders find difficult, especially if you are going to lose your own benefit out of the same. So you can easily overlook
the needs of others.
The needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is your need. So you will be talking about greater good, but the greater good is my greater good.
Oh, not the greater good of everyone.
Not everyone.
Hey.
it is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it can happen to any of us as leaders,
yes.
I included.
Mm.
So it requires consciousness. Of all the things that we are talking about, require personal reflection, require intentionality, require deliberateness, because they don't happen naturally.
It's something you have to work on.
It is something you have to work on. It's something you have to decide, I am going to do. When somebody is down there, suffering down there, you have to decide, I'm going to go down there and be with them.
Yes.
That's what Jesus did. He decided to come down. He could have stayed at the right hand of the Father. But he made that deliberate, intentional choice. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, on the night he was arrested, and he was praying. To me, there are two occasions where I see Jesus' humanity.
Yes.
At the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, if it is your will, let this cup pass. In other words, it was not something that he was just saying, yeah, let it, you know.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, bring it on.
No. No.
It was something that he struggled with. Mm-hmm. It is something that as a human being, he could not bear.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was going forward, he's even thinking, if there's plan B,
mm-hmm.
let's go with plan B.
B, yes.
Yeah. But he mm-hmm. added, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Because mm-hmm. why? Not for himself. He's thinking of the other people.
Yes.
If we don't go through with this thing, mm-hmm. these people are going to die in their sins.
Mm.
And so he pushes it outside of his own will. He just goes. The second time that I see Jesus' humanity is on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
When he cries, my Lord,
why have you forsaken me?
Mm. I mean, again, he's looking at, did it have to be this?
Yeah, it must have been very difficult.
It must have been very difficult.
Yeah.
But that is what this giving yourself to other people mm-hmm. is all about.
Yes.
Humbling yourself, forgoing that which you could have benefited from for the sake of other people.
Mm.
It is what it's all about. So I would say, yes, this is how to express our humility and in our relationship with other people,
yes.
pursuing the greater good. The last one I would say is the moderation of ego.
Hey. Moderation
of the ego.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Through humility.
Oh yes.
You do that through humility.
Mm-hmm.
Ego is a human trait, and especially for men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women have ego, but not to the level that we men have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The ego is, for a man, mm-hmm. is everything that I am. When you talk about David Oginde,
mm-hmm.
the totality of me
yes.
is in my ego.
Okay.
So that's why if you attack my ego,
mm-hmm.
I will come upon you like a lion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have attacked everything that is me.
Your very being.
Yeah, my very being.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is contained in my ego.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a man, that is something that is so important
mm-hmm.
because it contains the whole of me.
Mm-hmm.
Women are able to operate in, separate themselves, you know, from mm. things and here and there. And therefore, they can talk about things that are happening in their lives,
mm-hmm.
this failure there,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't do well there,
mm-hmm.
Because it is not the totality of their being.
Yes.
But for a man to accept I was wrong,
mm-hmm.
it is like saying the whole of me is bad.
Okay.
It is not just the bad, the one small thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
It is the whole of me is represented there. So that's why we find it very difficult as men to apologize, say I'm sorry, accept mistakes, ask for directions,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, that one for ask for direction.
Looks like a light bulb in a kujapo.
Yeah, I've seen it severally.
You have seen it severally.
Yes.
It is in men. I mean, a man can get lost
mm-hmm.
and they know they are lost.
Mm-hmm.
But to get themselves to ask for direction. Because what I'm thinking mm-hmm. is that when this person I'm asking for direction,
mm-hmm.
what will they be thinking of me? How could you be such a fool to come all this way? Or not to know the direction of where mm-hmm. you are going.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kind of thing that is going on in the mind of the man. But when a woman asks for direction, it is just that little small thing that
yes.
I just don't know that direction to this place.
Mm.
But the rest of me is okay.
Yes.
Not for the man. The whole of me doesn't know the direction.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with my everything. So it becomes very difficult for a man. But now when we talk about leaders, it mm-hmm. is general, whether man or woman. Because the leader is supposed to know. The leader is supposed to be competent in mm-hmm. doing whatever they are doing. The decisions they make are wise, and so on and so forth. That is the impression that we have got as leaders
mm-hmm.
and into leadership. So how can you be a leader and you don't know? How can you be a leader and you do this foolish thing? How can you be a leader and you know? So in order to maintain that image,
mm-hmm.
I can even lie over what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just to appear like I know.
Mm.
You know? I can do crazy things just to preserve my ego. Yeah, mm. as a leader. And now it is whether man or woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because it comes with that power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to look at me and think, surely, you didn't even know this. You couldn't even do this.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you are not able to do this? You know, that is something that attacks the leader at the very heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about moderation of ego,
mm-hmm.
it takes humility to accept that I don't know. It takes humility
mm-hmm.
to accept I was wrong. It takes humility to do all those negative things and mm-hmm. appreciate that it is not the whole of me.
Mm.
I when I train in leadership,
mm-hmm.
we train in leadership, I say, as a leader, when, for example, you're in a board meeting
mm-hmm.
or in a committee meeting or in a decision-making place, you come up with a thought, a proposal that you want people to deliberate on. And as a leader, you have given it a lot of thought.
Mm.
Or usually you would have given it a lot of thought. You have looked at this way, this way, this way. So by the time you're bringing this thing to the board or you're bringing this thing to the committee or to your team members, it is something that is now deep in your heart. And you have thought through it carefully to bring it now to the people for their consideration.
Yes.
Your hope as a leader mm-hmm. is that they will listen to it and say, wow, what a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is so good.
That's not always the case.
Yes, that's what the mind you come with
yes.
as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get there, some people ask you, what is this? Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
Did you consider this?
Mm-hmm.
This cannot work.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth. And as a leader, it can be very devastating if you have already thought through that particular issue to the extent that you have thought through.
Mm-hmm.
So what we say when you are in, when we do leadership training in decision making is that when you bring forth your ideas,
mm-hmm.
I use the illustration of a volleyball.
Yes.
If you have watched volleyball,
mm.
the person who starts the game
serves.
I mm. can see you know volleyball. So you go at the corner.
Yes.
And you serve the ball.
Yes.
You hit the ball, it goes to the other side.
Mm.
Now, from there on, a person hits it. It goes to another person, hits it, another person hits it, and you know it, they keep hitting it, pa, 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 pa. You should not feel pain
mm-hmm.
that your ball is being hit.
Yes.
Are you together?
Mm.
It is part of the game.
Mm.
That is actually the game. Once you have served,
mm-hmm.
what does the server do?
They wait.
They come back to the field
mm-hmm.
to now play with the rest
yes.
of the people.
Mm.
You don't sit at the corner where you serve the ball and allow the people to play. You now join the others, and now you play. So the ball may come to you, you also hit it, pass it to another person, and the ball keeps going until, of course, it falls down, and that particular round of game is finished.
Yes.
It should be the same with a leader when you bring your thoughts on the board. You bring it as a ball. You serve your idea.
Yes.
After it is served, let now people hit it. Don't feel pain. See, you're now chungu.
Yes.
Yeah. You feel, of course, naturally now you feel inside. But humility allows you to let the people hit it. Let people give their views. Let people, some people hit that ball very hard.
Yes.
Let them hit it. But you are separated from the ball. Ego wants you to be part of the ball and therefore feel the pain that the ball is feeling. Moderation of ego says, remove yourself from the ball. Allow people to play it until it is finished.
Yes.
Yeah. I can imagine where the president is at right now. He has sat down with his team of advisors and put together this finance bill.
Yes.
Carefully thought through. As I listened to him yesterday, he kept saying, we just don't know where this thing would have taken the country. And I believe him. Because as a leader, you sit down, you look at the total picture. And you think through what you want to do, and you come up with these wonderful ideas from where you sit. And then you bring it out here, and people hit it hard.
Yes.
It takes a lot as a leader to separate yourself from that ball. Because you have worked on it, you have thought it through, you have dreamt, you have considered, you have looked at it from left, right, and center, and you are convinced this is it. So by the time you are serving the ball,
you're waiting for people to say this is a very good idea.
You're just waiting to say, wow, this is awesome. This is so wise. This is so clever. This will take us places.
Yes.
Then they give you the opposite. You know, sometimes you serve the ball and the first person to eat it just hits it to the ground. Pow! And that round is finished.
Finished, yes.
Yeah. And you just feel, wow, you know? The capacity, let me call it capacity, the capacity to remove yourself from the ball is what we are calling the moderation of ego. It is not an easy thing, especially for us men. It is not an easy thing, but it is a thing that a leader must do. Remove yourself from the ball. Allow people to hit this ball as hard as they want to hit it, but it is part of the game. It is part of the game. So that ultimately when all is said and done, we then come to a place where we are agreed. This is the way to go. And it is okay. I have been a bishop. I can tell you, some people think that leadership in church is easy. My friend, I've been in places where people have pointed to my nose. Gen Z. Yes. I was there. I was there many years ago.
Yes.
Whereas one of them came to point my nose. You bishop, you be a con man. Yes. And then you feel small in the sight of this young boy.
Yes.
But you allow yourself to come down and to reflect and to allow the ball to be played. Because in the midst of that hitting the ball here and there, that's how game is played.
Yes.
And what ultimately comes out is good. So moderation of ego is part of leadership, humility.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. I think, like you said, even as a parent,
Even as a parent.
You don't like it when you give ideas and then your children shoot them down.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, sometimes when we are not able to moderate our ego, what do we say?
Mm-hmm.
I am the father in this house.
Yes.
I am the mother. Eating food in my house.
Yes.
It is difficult.
Yes.
It is difficult. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bishop. I have loved that session. And then now we get to the questions.
Yes.
Segment. I have seen several people who are asking several questions. So I'm just going to read out some comments here. There's someone who's saying, hello, Hope FM, good morning. Happy for Hope FM for continued educative program. Kindly ask Bishop to help me understand DISC and Myers-Briggs, this and then Johari Windows, and give a relationship in current government. How do we trust this government again?
My friend, come for the Catalyst class.
Mm-hmm.
We discuss all that. That's a whole several sessions.
Yes.
Discussing all those personality tests.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the DISC.
Yes,
The Myers-Briggs,
mm-hmm.
Johari Window.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are part of the personality test.
Okay.
The DISC and the Myers-Briggs gives you your kind of person,
mm-hmm.
How you respond to issues, how mm-hmm. you handle different situations, how you relate with people,
mm-hmm.
How you work, and mm-hmm. all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Johari Window gives you or tells you what we call the blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
The things about you that you don't see. And yet are so obvious to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that test shows you what are some of your blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you do that everybody can see,
mm-hmm.
but you are so blind to. And they can end you up in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing crazy things, doing foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
So we cover all that in our Catalyst class.
Mm-hmm.
Let them come.
Yes, Bishop is welcoming you. I think hata mimi nitakaribia.
Well, utakaribia.
Yes.
Yes, in fact, we just advertised a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I saw the advertisement. Asante sana, Bishop. Someone else is saying, hello, Sister Shiko and Bishop. Hilary Yanje from Nakuru City tuned in with my wife, Gloria, learning a lot. And then anasema hashtag leadership forum. There's Steve who had asked for the reporting number.
Oh, yeah. And then we got talking. I didn't look for it. Sorry.
Mm.
Now our time is almost gone.
Yes.
I'm trying to find where it was. I knew it by, no, is it by heart?
By heart, yes.
And then it went off my head. So I'll have to look for it. So just read others as I check.
Yes, there's someone here who has a very, he has put her feelings into this question. She says, Bishop Emeritus, respectfully, you explain so much about them, but don't really want to hear the explanations. Kenyans want to see results, real results. You have not pursued obvious cases like politicians who donate 20 million to a church, and then he mentions a name there. I don't think it's wise to mention. Then he say, why haven't you carried out a lifestyle audit of these people? We are aware corruption is at all levels, but you're focusing on and pursuing convicting lower levels of corruption. Convicting well-known corruption suspects would reduce the lower level corruption. Why only ex-governors and ex-politicians? Why not pursue sitting politicians?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give these numbers first,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll talk about this very good question.
Yes.
One is 0727-285-663. 0727 0785663 or 0733 520 641 of the person has got them.
Yes.
Thank you. So, yeah, if you can just read that question again. It came while I was...
Yes.
And I can see our time is not too much, so I'll try and answer, give a quick answer.
Yes.
Yes.
They're saying you've explained so much, but they don't really want to hear explanations because Kenyans want to see results, real results, saying that EACC has not pursued obvious cases like politicians who donate 20 million to a church event and giving names which I'll not mention, saying, why haven't you carried out a lifestyle audit on these people? We are aware corruption is at all levels, but you're focusing and pursuing and convicting lower-level corruption. Convicting well-known corruption suspects would reduce lower-level corruption. Why only ex-governors and ex-politicians? Why not pursue sitting politicians?
Very good question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let me start with the last as
yes.
I go upwards to the beginning of the question.
Yes.
Or maybe I should start at where explanations.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when somebody says they don't want explanations,
mm-hmm.
and they're also asking for explanations,
yes.
it becomes tricky. Because
yes.
what they're asking is for me to explain
yes.
why.
yes.
But at the same time, they don't want
to hear
explanations.
Yes.
Very tricky. But if you look at... I said earlier, if this listener was with us,
mm-hmm.
I said one of our challenges
mm-hmm.
is our legal framework.
Yes.
Such that the process of investigating and prosecuting
mm-hmm.
a person suspected of corruption
yes.
is very well laid out in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you can circumvent it.
Yes.
We are a legal institution,
mm-hmm.
and we cannot. I may want to do certain things. I wish I could,
mm-hmm.
But we can't. We have to follow
the law. Yes,
we have to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the process of following that law
mm-hmm.
Is such that investigations
mm-hmm.
In matters corruption require certain disclosures.
Yes.
What I have found since I got into this space
mm-hmm.
is that to investigate a sitting officer
mm-hmm.
is almost impossible.
They can hide the...
They are the ones with the documents you need.
Yes.
They are the ones with the information you need
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. It becomes very difficult.
Yes.
Unless they are willing to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot take anybody to court without... that evidence.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Because courts respond to evidence.
To evidence and
yes.
facts.
Mm.
You know? So, when I looked at this whole situation,
mm-hmm.
my position was,
mm-hmm.
why don't we go for the low-hanging fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Crime
mm-hmm.
does not go stale.
No.
If you committed a crime in 1950 and it is found today,
mm-hmm.
it will be punished as if it happened today.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard people asking the British government
yes,
about the Mau Mau tortures and so on
mm-hmm.
for them to be. Yeah, it doesn't go stale that all time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the message that we want to pass to the sitting people.
Yes.
That now because you have power and authority and you are in office,
mm-hmm.
you can deny us access to information that we need.
Yes.
But we are waiting for you.
A time will come.
A time will come.
Yes.
When you will not have that power.
Yes.
And that's why you see we have not focused, but
mm-hmm.
we have been pursuing some of the former ministers,
mm-hmm.
former governors, former PSS, and so on. Because now that information, you can access it very easily.
Yes.
They no longer have those powers to obstruct you
mm-hmm.
from getting the information that you need.
Yes.
So they were sitting, this is a warning shot to them,
mm-hmm.
that if you think you can now steal our money and get away with it,
mm-hmm.
we are coming for it. So we come to them at two levels.
Mm-hmm.
At one level, it is the whole thing of unexplained wealth. So mm-hmm. we'll come to you and see what you have.
Mm-hmm.
The profile that she's talked, he or she, our listener has talked about.
Yes.
Lifestyle audit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do your lifestyle audit, identify everything that you own, and then we'll ask you to explain how you
mm-hmm.
got it.
Yes.
Anything that you can't explain,
mm-hmm.
we will take back. And we have been announcing this, we have taken this back and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we call the civil part of your case,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm.
where we take back and explain the wealth.
Yes.
But there's the criminal side.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we have taken back does not mean now you go free.
Mm-hmm.
Now we take you to court to answer the criminal side of having taken.
Yes.
stolen from the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the criminal side. The criminal side is the most difficult part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the big corruption, not the small ones, the big corruption become very difficult to prosecute because you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt
mm-hmm.
that this person did what you're accusing them to have done.
Yes.
So you need all that evidence in order for you to prosecute that case and that case, that person to be convicted
mm-hmm.
of the crime that they committed.
Mm-hmm.
The civil part is not easy, but easier
mm-hmm.
because it is you to show us,
mm-hmm.
to prove to us. If you have these 10 cars,
mm-hmm.
you have this land in where, you have built a hotel somewhere, you have built skyscrapers, you mm-hmm. have whatever. And we collect all of it and we aggregate it according to value. It comes to 3 billion shillings or 10 billion shillings.
Mm-hmm.
We know you have how much you earned
mm-hmm.
during your time. So just tell us.
And the loans you picked.
How did you acquire
mm-hmm.
these properties?
Wow.
So we allow you actually,
mm-hmm.
and we give you time.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody can remember every little detail. So we give you time.
Mm-hmm.
Go and compile how you got your money and how you were able to buy this and so on. As much as you can satisfactorily explain,
mm-hmm.
we will leave to you.
Amen. Unfortunately, time is not on my side, but Bishop, before you say a quick prayer, there's somebody here has written a very long one, but asking Bishop, where can the Gen Z's help with corruption?
Where can the Gen Z? You know, somebody,
mm-hmm.
As the Gen Z's are really helpful.
Mm.
On Saturday, I think it was, somebody sent me a chat GPT
mm-hmm.
that has been developed by, I'm sure, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can key in the name of any politician
mm-hmm.
or any senior government officer.
Yes.
And it will show you the scandals they have been involved in.
Wow.
You know, the way ChatGPT works.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are getting into this electronic digital era
mm-hmm.
where we are today,
mm-hmm.
and what is now famously known as budgeted corruption.
Yes.
We need to exploit the digital aspect of dealing with corruption.
Yes.
And this is an area where those who are in the know
mm-hmm.
on what could be done
mm-hmm.
could be very useful to
yes.
us.
Mm.
So if there are such people who know, these are things that you can do so that we digitize
mm-hmm.
the whole issue of investigations,
mm-hmm.
Access to information and data and so on, so that it makes it much easier because investigations are very expensive.
Yes.
So this is an area that really those people can help us.
Mm-hmm.
But the easiest one is whistleblowing. If you
yes.
see something, tell us.
And you've already given the numbers.
I've given the number.
Time is really not on our side. Kindly
it
say...
It is not even on our side. It passed from
it
our
passed.
Side long time ago.
Oh, we need to say kwaheri, Bishop.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, as we have been here, we've talked about very serious things that are affecting our nation.
Mm.
As we sit here, there are people who are grieving their loss, the loss of their loved ones, and we pray for grace and comfort upon them. There are people who have lost businesses. We pray for grace and comfort upon them. There are people who are hurt and injured. We pray for healing on their bodies, oh God. But most of all, we want to pray for all of us as a nation, that, Lord, you'd give us a spirit of unity, a purpose, that we will all move in the same direction. Because ultimately, this nation belongs to all of us. We pray against those people who are determined to destroy our nation. Mm. And we pray for those who are willing to build this nation to make it a great nation, that we'll work together to build a great nation that we can all be proud of. Be with us now as we face the days that are ahead, and help us, O God, that we may be united in peace. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. And of course, you can catch Bishop David Oginden here on Leadership Forum every alternate Monday. So kindly watch out for that. I can see Melissa Odoro on the other side. We have eaten into her time, but I know she understands. So until tomorrow, same time, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., may God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.